UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh,
hello. Yes, someone has stolen my sunshine. It is overcast today. The sun is a weird circle in the sky right now. And sadly, it was raining all this morning, or misting. It was just wet enough that I didn't want to ride the motorcycle in. And now it's pretty decent out. But what are you going to do? Such is life, living on this big old blue world. And of course, such is life up here on the roof of the garage. I am DJ Marcus. Welcome. Hello. As you said in the intro, it is it's 1908 right now, so a little behind. My watch is apparently too loose because it keeps telling me to log. You know, I have to log in, unlock my watch. So I'll try tightening that up. Let's check in with Calm. All you do is run C-O-M, SSH over, and then run C-O-M. Well, that's no good. I sit on the roof, and there's a big pipe at the top. It's painted red, so I think it's involved with the drains or fire or something. This is big red pipe. It has a big valve on it, and it goes through into the ground. And when I sit here on the roof, I often hold on to it, and I'll use it to pull myself up or slip myself down, and it appears that it is no longer cemented to the ground, so that might be a problem. Anyway, hello, howdy, Atomic Rights and Scott Aficionado, LD Beth, welcome, shout out to everybody in Calm, hanging out, having a good time. It is time for news, so, you know, we gotta get going. Enough of that nonsense. Let's go ahead here and get started the way we pretty much always start, and that, my friends, is with
world news.
That's right, world news time. All right, so let's go ahead and launch that. Come on over here. If you want to check out the news stories and you don't want to listen to the whole dang thing and me rambling on, you can go to tx0.org/1gz. That's tango-xray0.org/1golf-zulu. That's all lowercase, tx0.org/1gz. All right, so it's not so much sad. It's not as sad news as it could be. So first up, the nine, if you remember, there were 9 babies born earlier this year, all at once. What? Yeah, that's right, the non-tuplets. Well, they've returned home. The world's only non-nuplets, 9 babies born at the same time, have safely returned home to Mali after spending the first 19 months of their lives in Morocco. So maybe we talked about this last year, sorry. The babies broke the Guinness World Record for the most children delivered in a single birth to survive. Ahead of the birth in May of 2021, the mother, now 27, was flown to Morocco for specialist care. Before returning, they'd been living with medical support in Casablanca. After arriving back in the Malian capital, Bamako, in the early hours of Tuesday morning, the father, Abdelkader Arbi, thanked the Malian government, which he said had been helping the family financially. "It's a lot of work, but Allah, who gave us this blessing, will help us in their upbringing and taking care of them." Health Minister said the government will continue to support the family. The babies, 5 girls and 4 boys, were born by cesarean section at 30 weeks, according to the Malian authorities last year. They weighed between 500 grams and 1 kilogram, which is awfully small at birth, Professor Yosef Aloui, medical director of the clinic where they were born, told the AFP. He didn't say that's awfully small, that was me, sorry. There were risks that they could have developed health problems due to their premature birth, and they spent the first 5 months of their lives in hospital. They were then moved to an apartment where they received round-the-clock care from the AIN, or Ain Borga Clinic. Earlier this year, on their first birthday, their father said that each one has a unique personality. They all have different characters. Some are quiet, while others make more noise and cry a lot. Some want to be picked up. They're all very different, which is entirely normal. Mr. Arby also said that they had become famous in Mali, and people were very keen to see the babies with their own eyes. The family showed the and they got a certificate from Guinness World Records, and there's some photos of the babies. So it's very cute. And it's a little bit of happier news than before. Bye, Unimagine. Thanks for being here. MNW. Hey, that's me. I guess I was connected and disconnected. The power of walking to the garage. Ah, what's going on, Atomic Wright? Do you have an internet troubles? I understand. Yeah, that can be annoying. All right, so that was a positive story. Look at me. I'm doing positive stories nowadays. Getting soft in my old age. All right, so let's jump on over. We got more news. Boop, boop, boop. 2, 3 clicks, 4 clicks. All right, we're staying in Africa. South Africa's parliament votes against Ramaphosa impeachment move. Majority of parliament voted not to initiate impeachment proceedings against the president over alleged misconduct and violation of oath of office. South Africa's parliament has voted against starting an impeachment process, or proceeding against Cyril Ramaphosa over a report that says he held undeclared foreign currency at his farm in 2020. The legislators voted 214 to 148 against the move to impeach. The ruling African National Congress Party, which holds a majority in parliament, largely stood with Ramaphosa, preventing the motion from getting the 2/3 vote needed to proceed. The report has brought Ramaphosa's opponents, opposition parties, and even rivals within his own party to call for him to step down. The parliamentary vote comes in a week where Ramaphosa will also be fighting for his political life as he seeks to be re-elected a leader of the ANC at its national conference starting on Friday. So that will kind of determine whether or not we hear more from Cyril Ramaphosa or not. But it is a very intriguing story. It could be a TV, it could be an episode of a crime drama TV show or a full feature movie, if you ask me. India and China are fighting again, or clashing. India says its forces have clashed with Chinese troops in a disputed area along the border, the first such flare-up in more than a year. The nations have been working to de-escalate tensions since a major clash killed at least 24 troops in 2020. But on Monday, the Indian Army said there had been a clash in the Tawang sector of Arunachal Pradesh state last Friday, the eastern tip of India. Both states were involved, with a few soldiers suffering minor injuries. Reuters reported an Indian Army source saying at least 6 Indian troops were injured. Both sides immediately disengaged from the area, the Indian Army said. It added that commanders from both sides had held a meeting immediately after to restore peace and tranquility. India's defense minister, Rajant Singh, who addressed lawmakers in parliament on Tuesday, said the encounter started when Chinese troops encroached into Indian territory and unilaterally tried to change the status quo along the disputed border near the Yangtze area. He said the Indian soldiers responded with firmness and prevented the Chinese army from transgressing into our territory. Mr. Singh said that some soldiers from both sides had been injured in the skirmish, but no Indian soldiers had been hurt or seriously injured. China's foreign ministry gave no details on the incident, but said that according to their knowledge, the situation on the border in India was generally stable. They share a disputed 3,440-kilometer-long de facto border called the Line of Actual Control, which is poorly demarcated. The presence of rivers, lakes, and snow caps means the line can shift. Soldiers on either side, representing two of the world's largest armies, come face to face at many points. So, that is the deal. That's what's going on over there. yeah, Atomic Rates, 9 kids at once is pretty tough. Hey, I see them. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for being here. Yeah, exactly. We don't know what you're talking about. Everybody's fine. We definitely did not have any of it. And really, it seems like if you have a big border like that, it kind of seems like it would be commonplace where you guys kind of bump into each other a lot. Especially since it's not a hard border, you know, it's not like there's a wall or anything. Because it is, I started late, I want to jump into some tech news and then we'll go back to the other news. More specifically, there's three nuclear stories, or two real big ones that I kind of want to get into or want to go through. The first one is just kind of an update. Korean nuclear reactor is back online after 5-year maintenance outage. The Korea Hydro and Nuclear Power, or KHNP, confirmed that Hanbit Unit 4 resumed power generation at 3:40 a.m. on December 11th, ending an outage that began in May 2017. The unit was taken offline for a planned preventative maintenance outage, but remained offline after the discovery of voids in its containment building. Those voids have been repaired. The 5-year maintenance outage has also included maintenance of major devices and facilities, including the replacement of steam generators. Korea's nuclear regulator, the Nuclear Safety and Security Commission, inspected the plant systems and confirmed that the standard of the repairs and the structural integrity of the containment building before giving permission for the plant to restart on December 9th. Hanbit 4 is expected to reach full power in the early morning of December 15th. The Hanbit nuclear power plant was previously known as Yongguang. So, just a little update there for you. I thought that's pretty darn cool. No, they're not. It was supposed to be down for refueling and repair, so that's just supposed to be like, I don't know, a couple months, 6 months. But they said they found voids in the containment. When you have concrete buildings, this can happen with any concrete structure, but when you've got your concrete and it's setting, it's hardening and setting for a long time, and you can develop little pockets of air might develop as the cement's reacting and curing and all of that. And those voids, I mean, it could be a vacuum. It might just be some air, but either way, it isn't solid concrete. So you want to fill those in and make sure that they stay filled in. Hey, Publius is here. We were talking about nuclear power and here he comes. Perfect. If you want to explain why voids in a containment wall are a bad idea, that'd be great. But if not, welcome, welcome. Thanks for being here. All right, so now let's talk about fission, because fission is the current, fusion. Hold fusion? Yeah, fusion. I want to talk about a story we talked about earlier in the year out of Korea. Sorry, not Korea. I thought it was Korea. Hold on one sec. I've got it saved here. Korea, DOE, Korean nuclear. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't Korea. Korea nuclear fusion reactor achieves 100 million C for 30 seconds. We talked about this back in September. This was September 2022. And this was a fusion reaction that lasted for 30 seconds at excess of 100 million C. And so The achievement of heat and stability brings us closer to a viable reactor, as long as the technique can be scaled up. And this is happening at the Korea Superconducting Tokamak Advanced Research Experiment at the Korean Institute of Fusion Energy. So this research is happening all over the world, and different countries are kind of focusing or doing different things. But I wanted to remind everybody that we've had a couple of breakthroughs not too far away. The large ITER, there's a delivery truck passing by. But the ITER experimental fusion reactor in France is also going on. So anyway, I just wanted to be sure and throw that out there as we talk about what happened in the United States recently. Let me pull this up here. Now, this is the press release from the Department of Energy. Voids. Publius is here. LD Beth. Hey, X1, welcome. So, in Korea, the nuclear plant that just went online on the 11th, that nuclear plant, they'd found voids in the concrete. And voids are just like spots where the concrete, once the concrete was set, they found that certain pockets had formed. So it's just spots where there is no... I don't know. It's like a sinkhole kind of thing. All right. So here we go. Energy.gov, the Department of Energy National Laboratory, has put out a press release. You may have heard about this last night. A leaked version of this was out. The U.S. Department of Energy and DOE's National Nuclear Security Administration today announced the achievement of fusion ignition at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, a major breakthrough decades in the making that will pave the way for advancements in national defense and the future of clean power. On December 5th, a team at LLNL, that's the Livermore National Laboratory, Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, a team at LLNL's National Ignition Facility conducted the first controlled fusion experiment in history to reach this milestone, also known as scientific energy break-even, meaning it produced more energy from fusion than the laser energy used to drive it. This historic first-of-its-kind achievement will provide unprecedented capability to support NNSA's stockpile stewardship program and will provide invaluable insights into the prospects of clean fusion energy, which will be a game-changer for efforts to achieve Biden's goal of net-zero carbon economy. This is a landmark achievement for the researchers and staff at the National Ignition Facility who've dedicated their careers to seeing fusion ignition become a reality, and this milestone will undoubtedly spark even more discovery. U.S. Secretary of Energy Jennifer M. Granholm, this quote is saying. The Biden-Harris administration is committed to supporting our world-class scientists like the team at NIF, whose work will help us solve humanity's most complex and pressing problems, like providing clean power to combat climate change and maintaining a nuclear deterrent without nuclear testing. We have a theoretical understanding of fusion over a century, but the journey from knowing to doing can be long and arduous. Let's see, more praise, kind of fluffy language here. Senator Singh being quoted is talking about how good it is. I'm thrilled. LLNL's experiment surpassed the fusion threshold by delivering 2.05 megajoules of energy to the target, resulting in 3.15 megajoules of output, demonstrating for the first time a most fundamental science basis for inertial fusion energy. Many advanced science and technology developments are still needed to achieve simple, affordable IFE to power homes and businesses, and the Department of Energy is restarting a broad-based, coordinated IFE program in the U.S. Combined with private sector investment, there's a lot of momentum to drive rapid progress toward fusion commercialization. So this is very, very exciting kind of stuff here. Let's see what's going on here in COM. Hey, Tobes, come back. In Korea? oh, nice, Tobe. Nine rainbow trout on the fusion highway. The NNSA is responsible for nuclear weapons. The NIF at LLNL was created for studying thermonuclear explosions without actually setting off bomb tests. Thanks for the insight, Publius. So, this is very cool. It's kind of an interesting idea. something, I just wanted to mention it. I won't read the story again, but Publius, there was a really cool story at the Nuclear News website about americium being used as a nuclear battery fuel for stuff on the moon. That's something they're doing in the UK. We talked about it yesterday, I think, but it was pretty darn cool. X1 also supports wars. So we'll see how this all plays. One of the things also to note is that while the laser energy that went into the reaction was 2.05 megajoules, the electricity to drive those lasers to generate that was more than 2.05 megajoules. So this is kind of like the difference between like a science experiment and not in real life. Sizable supplies. All right. Twitter to lose 32 million users in 2 years after Elon Musk takeover. More than 30 million users are expected to leave Twitter over the next 2 years as concerns over technical issues and the proliferation of offensive content after Elon Musk's $44 billion takeover, according to forecasts. The number of global monthly users is predicted to fall by nearly 4% next year and 5% in 2024, more than 32 million in total. I did not realize Twitter was that big. I really felt like, because it really felt like Mastodon was sinking under this huge wave of people coming to it. And they're talking about 30 million is like, 3 or 4%. More than 32 million in total. So that would be 9%, I guess. 4% one, well, no. 4% 1 year and then 5% the next. If it's 5% of that 96%, it's not quite 5% anymore. Anyway, I don't know the math. I'm sorry. More than 32 million in total. The first annual declines forecast by the research agency Insider Intelligence since it began tracking the platform in 2008. There won't be one catastrophic event that ends Twitter, a principal analyst said. Jasmine Enberg said, instead, users will start to leave the platform next year as they grow frustrated with technical issues and the proliferation of hateful or other unsavory content. Twitter's skeleton staff, working around the clock, won't be able to counteract the platform's infrastructure and content moderation problems. Its report anticipates that Twitter will lose more users in the U.S., its biggest market, than any other country, with numbers declining 8.2 million over the next 2 years. By the end of 2024, U.S. numbers are forecast to fall to 50.5 million. In the U.K., Twitter will lose 1.6. It's predicted that while disillusioned users leaving the platform will occur across all demographics, the biggest concentration will be the under 25s and over 45 age groups, which aren't as loyal and are less willing to tolerate a degrading experience. So. Oh, wow. Publius letting us know americium is named that because it's directly beneath europium in the periodic table. And so it's some humor from Glenn Seaborg. Be the transuranium element you want to see in the world. All right. Well, that'll do it for news, because I need to stand up. And if I sit too long these days, I get stiff. It's because I'm not working out enough, I guess. But anyway, there's a lot more going on in the world. We'll come back to it tomorrow. I have to go to the dentist and get my stuff done. But I joined Costco. That's the last little bit of news for you. I've just been going out and going out to eat most of the time. But now I'm back. I'm going to go to the grocery store and cook food. And hopefully that'll save me some money. All right. Well, that's all the things I got. I'm going to go ahead here and tell you, please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe coming up in just about a minute. And it's a lot of fun. And press equal sign in com to see all the other stuff coming up. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with
7.